Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries, Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in our series, Weapons of Spiritual Warfare. Today's lesson is Utilizing the Means of Grace. I'm Dr. Mary Craig. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you, Lord God, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our behalf. We thank you for his life of obedience, perfect personal, perpetual obedience, his life of fulfilling all righteousness in our place and in our stead. And we thank you, Lord, that he lived the life that you required and he died to pay the penalty for our sin on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that he did die, that he was buried and rose again from the dead the third day. And we thank you, Lord, that he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit and the sending of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the work of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of grace. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the God of all grace and that Jesus Christ came in the fullness of grace and truth. We thank you, Lord God. And so we ask that the Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our minds to comprehend, understand, and perceive, and that you would open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us today concerning utilizing the means of grace. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we are saved by grace through faith and given grace to obey through faith, which works by love. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. God is the God of all grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Thus, we are exhorted not to insult the Spirit of grace, in Hebrews 10, verse 29. Once justified by grace, we are to yield to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God ordained means through which he confers grace to his people. We are to avail ourselves of the means of grace, those outward and ordinary means ordained by God as Christ mediates the benefit of salvation provided in the new covenant. Every believer can enjoy God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, and hope of eternal relationship with Christ here on earth now as he or she continues to utilize the means of grace. It's rather like being born with a gift and having the gift but never discovering it, developing it, or using it. You live as though you had no gift, and after you die, you face the reality that you wasted something very precious, or you could discover and appreciate the gift you were born with, practice and get coaching, and develop the gift, use the gift for the benefit of others, and be a real blessing. We have this gift, Christ and eternal life in him. We can be like wedding glasses used once, only to be wrapped up and stored in a closet, or we can be like fancy crystal glasses used only on special occasions, hand washed and stored in the cupboard, or we can be favorite glasses used and washed and kept handy on the kitchen counter. Which do you think turns out to be golden? Now let's listen to 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. A large house contains not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some indeed are for honorable use, but others are for common use. So if anyone cleanses himself of what is unfit, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, and prepared for every good work. That's 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21 in the Berean version. Dr. Robert L. Raymond, in his book, A New Systematic Theology of the Christian Faith, considers the primary means by which Christ communicates to his own are the Word of God, the sacraments of Christian baptism and the Lord's Supper, and prayer. These are made effectual to the elect for their salvation. Number one, the Word of God. The Word of God as a means of grace is comprised of law and gospel. The law serves, number one, to bring a person under conviction of sin, Romans 3, verse 20, in order to make one conscious of a total inability to meet the demands of the law. Number two, to lead a person to the necessity of Christ, from Galatians 3, verse 24. And number three, to serve as a guide to believers as to, quote, what love looks like, unquote. So the Holy Spirit uses the law to restrain sin or evil and promotes righteousness in a nation, a family, and a person. The gospel declares the good news of Christ as the only way back to the Father, that Jesus lived a perfect life, died to pay the penalty for sin, and rose again from the dead. The gospel exhorts those to come to Christ in faith and repentance and to rely and trust in Christ alone as the only hope of salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1, verse 16, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to enlighten, to convince, to humble, and to build up believers in holiness, grace, comfort, and so forth, as the Word is faithfully read, preached, and searched. The Holy Spirit uses the Word to draw people to the truth, to conform believers to the image of Christ, and to strengthen faith such that believers grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Number two, the sacraments of Christian baptism and the Lord's Supper do not save anyone in and of themselves, but these are means of grace to the believer as they are received. The Great Commission, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 19, includes baptism. Baptism is the outward sign of the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, and it demonstrates faith as old lives are left behind and new life in Christ is acknowledged. Romans 6, verse 4, Colossians 2, 11 to 13, 1 John 3, verses 2 and 23. In the Lord's Supper, we join ourselves with the blood covenant and proclaim Christ's death until he comes. 1 Corinthians 11, Matthew 26, verse 28, Exodus 24, verse 8, Isaiah 53, verse 12, Revelation 19, verses 6 to 9. Number three, prayer. Through prayer, we actively communicate with the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. We come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace or favor to help in a timely way. That's Hebrews 4, verse 16. We talk, we listen, we worship, we express our wonder, we share our feelings and thoughts, and all we are with all God is. In addition, God has ordained certain means by which his grace is improved in us. For example, as we embrace proper worship and partake in praise as individuals, as families, and corporately as the family of God, we grow in grace, honoring the Sabbath, receiving the word read and expounded, offering prayers, singing songs to God, reaffirming our faith, pronouncing blessings, bringing the tithe and offerings, guardedly administering the sacraments, and giving sacred oaths and vows, all contribute to growth in grace. And we want to particularly be careful when we make an oath and a vow that we are not professing great swelling words, promising things that to God that we cannot do. making I will stick commitments, things like that, that we cannot do in our own strength, only as God grants grace. Acts 2, verses 37 to 42, John 16, verse 8. Subduing the flesh through fasting and abstinence encourages family, encourages humility as an act of worship and means of grace. James 4, verse 6. And we might consider here Isaiah 58 also. Is this not the fast that I require, God says, and he talks about a fasting from sin. If you want to fast, then put off sin and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put off and stop activities that you know are not pleasing to God, and put on activities that you know are pleasing to God, and start doing that. That's all part of fasting. Okay. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live in community and oneness, and we also are brought into the community of the covenant people of God. One anothering, mutually caring for the members of Christ's body through regular fellowship, Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25, and actively participating in, quote, good works wrought in God, unquote, from John chapter 3, affirm the lordship of Christ in our lives. Witnessing the gospel to others is a means of grace. Giving glory to God through testimonies of God's grace, and involving ourselves in communication that gives or ministers grace to the hearers, Ephesians 4, verse 29. As far as the one about the communication, let no communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearers. And this is something we all need to be working on all the time and asking God for wisdom, words of wisdom, and that we are communicating grace. That we are communicating the gospel clearly, as clearly and as plainly as we can. All these things honor God and encourage growth in grace. Through these, the Holy Spirit renews us and glorifies Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 10, Colossians 1, verse 10, John 15, verse 8. Now, I want to talk about the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands, according to Dr. Wayne Grudem, is a means of grace. Here's how he lays it out in his Systematic Theology, copyright 1994, on pages 959 to 963. In fact, Grudem's chapter 48 in his Systematic Theology is all on the means of grace for those who want to dig deeper. Wayne Grudem lists the following as specific means of grace: teaching of the word, the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, prayer, worship, church discipline, which maintains the purity of the church and encourages holiness of life, is encouraged, giving graciously, gladly, generously, and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, 1 Peter 4:10, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. Fellowship, evangelism, which ministers saving grace, personal ministry to individuals. Now, I want to mention this as to spiritual gifts. The gifts of the Father are found in Romans chapter 12, and those gifts are motivational gifts. So the motivational gifts of the Father are found in Romans chapter 12. The gifts of Christ to the body of Christ, the ecclesia, are found in Ephesians chapter 4. And those gifts are called the ministry gifts. So we have the motivational gifts, Romans 12, the ministry gifts of Christ to the body of Christ in Ephesians 4. And then we have the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are found in 1 Corinthians 12. And then we have miscellaneous gifts found in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, miscellaneous gifts. So, but what I want to do is to address using Grudem's systematic theology as a resource. I want to address ministering to other individuals and their specific needs in the church. This can take several forms. For example, words of encouragement or exhortation or wise counsel or meeting material needs of other Christians. These are all mentioned in the Word of God. For example, in Colossians 3, verse 16, Ephesians 4, verse 29, James 5, verse 20, Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, James 2, verse 16, 1 John 3, verse 17, Acts 4, verse 34, Galatians 2, verse 10. Anointing with oil in conjunction with prayer for a sick person is another interpersonal ministry. Jesus' disciples did this, Mark 6, verse 13. And James 5, verse 14, gives instructions to the calling of the elders of the church to pray for the sick, anointing the person with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, the anointing oil is symbolic. The anointing oil symbolizes the healing power of the Holy Spirit coming to the sick person. And so we want to remember that. Some people need something physical. But God will meet us where we are, wherever we are on this road that, you know, of life. God will meet us, and so there's all these ways that Jesus healed people, ways that God will heal people. There's no magic formula, even with the James 5 healing, that's very broad. It sounds specific, and some of it is, but it's very broad, so that you'll see differences from one church to another and one denomination to another. When they'll call it a James 5 service, and they follow that and have the elders pray for a person, pray for the sick person. It says the prayer of a righteous man or a righteous person avails much. But remember, the one who's truly righteous, and you can absolutely count on it, is Jesus Christ. He is absolutely righteous. And as high priest in the order of Melchizedek, sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, Jesus is in that priestly role, ever interceding for, we would call him the elect. He's always interceding for his own. And so we can ask him to intercede for us. We ask Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is, like I had a theology professor say, that in his role of helping from Romans 8, he's like the divine editor. And so we can ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. So anointing with oil in conjunction with prayer for a sick person is another interpersonal ministry. Okay, Grudem notes that another form of ministering to other individuals in the New Testament is the use of physical touch, particularly in the laying on of hands in conjunction with prayer. Laying on of hands was the most common method Jesus used when praying for people. For example, in Luke 4, verse 40, Matthew 8, verse 3, Mark 1, verse 41, Mark 6, verse 5, Mark 8, verses 23 to 25, Luke 5, verse 13, Luke 13, verse 13. Oh, so that is my front door opening to Okay. People came to Jesus asking him to lay his hands on a sick person. For example, in Matthew 9, verse 18, people sought to touch Jesus, for power came from him. We see that in Luke 6, verse 19. Jesus took little children in his arms and blessed them, Mark 10, verse 16. If we are to imitate Jesus and follow Paul's example, we would see, quote, the laying on of hands in conjunction with praying for people, for healing, for bringing blessing, for receiving the Holy Spirit at the time of conversion, for receiving spiritual gifts, or for empowering for ministry, unquote. And that is Grudem, Wayne Grudem. Thus, the laying on of hands would be elementary. Like it says in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, let's move on now from the elementary things. Elementary things, something belonging to foundational Christian teaching. Not just as that which accompanies installation and ordination of elders, but also as instruction for how to pray for others in various situations of need. Such learning stirs us up to love and good works, to ministering to the body of Christ, and to blessing others. According to Dr. Grudem, quote, when any of these, and we're talking about the means of grace, are carried out in faith and obedience, we should eagerly expect and look for evidence that the Holy Spirit is actually ministering to people at the same time as these actions are being done, unquote. And that's Dr. Wayne Grudem in his systematic theology. Likewise, we are not to neglect fellowship with other true believers, the invisible church, because we are to stir one another up to love and good works. Okay, and so that's what we're talking today about, utilizing the means of grace. Now, I hope this helps you, and you might consider what is being said here about the laying on of hands. There's no real magical power inherent in the hands, whether they were early Christians or today. And think about what is God's part and what is our part in that whole process. We might also think about, with this lesson, whenever you read a passage, what was going on there? Like, the spiritual gifts were imparted as evidence by what? What does 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 tell us about the impartation of spiritual gifts and how they are stirred up? And then what would you say, perhaps, to another Christian for them to do when it seems that he or she is slipping or sliding, drifting and sidestepping, confused about spiritual issues, etc., relative to the means of grace? What means of grace would you utilize primarily? And what means of grace do you utilize on a regular basis? And what areas would you like to see yourself become more effective in the means of grace to minister to others, to be a blessing to others? And that's what it's all about. I will tell you that when I see a person in a situation like that, if they come to me or they're in one of our services or whatever, I try to have that person partake in as many of the means of grace that have been mentioned here as possible, almost, like you receive a B12 shot or something to get going, right? A boost, and to participate in the means of grace. But they're very important, and you want to encourage that. Something that, if you're a group leader, somebody comes and maybe they're not very talkative, but they might be willing to read out scriptures. Start with having them read out the scriptures, or have them pray the word of God back to God. So you say, would you please pray, you know, say maybe the Lord's Prayer. There's a lot of psalms that are in the first person already. And you get people to participate in the means of grace. Encourage people to give their testimonies. We've seen so many people healed. And I know that giving the testimony seals the healing and continues to give glory to God. And I find that in my own life, it'll be a long time in between sometimes, but God will have me give the God story of what he did, some wonderful thing, healing or just something. We just have to say it's a God story. There's no other way around it. And those things they seal that healing, and they seal that work that was done. And so there's a lot of things we can do here. This is just an overview. I do hope that many of you will look into these means of grace and study the word and consider ministering. Not everybody has to be a pastor. Most counseling is done by two friends getting together at the kitchen table or on the phone or something and talking to one another about whatever. And that's how most counseling is done, long before anybody goes to a Christian counselor, a professional Christian counselor. So understanding the means of grace and asking God to help you grow in growth, to have growth in this area, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to have opportunity to utilize the means of grace, doing that in your own life and for others, doing to others. All right, and that's what we want. Okay, and so we'll close in prayer here. Father God, we thank you that you have established the means of grace. We are saved by grace, and we are sanctified by your grace, and it is out of your grace that you give us the faith. Everything comes as a gift from you, and we thank you, Lord. Help us all, each and all, to utilize the means of grace, to get familiar with what they are, and Lord, to trust that as we do, you continue to do, to bless us and to cause us to persevere. You preserve us and you empower us and you strengthen us and so many things, God. You prevent us with your goodness. And there's so many things, Lord, and just grant everyone to stir them up, Lord, to love and good work. In Jesus' name, amen.